You're with us for the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Now it's time for Wisconsin Life. Here's producer Mary Kate McCoy with a story about what it's been like to be a kid in the pandemic.
The pandemic has had a big impact on all of us, including kids. Take Cora Gruby. She's 11 years old and in the fifth grade. Here she is.
Something fun about me is I like doing my nails and I like hanging out with my friends.
Cora also really wants to do her part to help keep her family, community, and the world safe from COVID-19. She recently sat down with her stepmom, WPR's Andrea Anderson, to talk about what it's like to be a kid in the pandemic.
What is something you want people to know about kids and how their lives have changed during the pandemic?
The main thing is not being able to see friends and family, and also during remote learning, we can't see other people as much. We really just have to stick to our family.
What does that mean for kids? What does that do to them, not being able to see those people?
It makes them pretty sad because if they can't hang out with their friends, they're pretty lonely.
How do you think kids are feeling now, 2 years into the pandemic, versus a year ago?
Well, now I think they're still really upset at the pandemic and why isn't it going away. But for the 1 year, I guess, they were just like, oh, it's okay. It's only a year of our lives. It's fine. But now that's 2 years. We don't know when it's going to stop, but we hopefully think that it's going to stop very, very soon.
And so what do you and your classmates and your friends, what do you feel about the pandemic?
Well, it's not really good, so me and my friends aren't really happy with it. I feel like maybe it's gotten me and my best friend closer because she joined the school, I think, when the pandemic was about to hit or when it already hit. So I really like the part where I met my best friend.
So we're going to turn to a subject that is a little bit polarizing in our environment right now, and that is masks. And I want to ask you, do you wear a mask? And if you do or don't, why?
I do because I'm going to try to stop the spread as much as I as an individual can.
What's it like wearing one during school or at the store?
Well, I got used to it a while ago, but at the beginning, it was really, really different because I'm used to just walking in one without remembering a mask and seeing people's faces differently, like only half of them and stuff like that.
So now we're going to talk about vaccines. And we talk a lot about the COVID-19 vaccines at home because your younger sister, Magnolia, can't be vaccinated yet. And we talked a lot about them before you were eligible to get the vaccine and before your older sister, Lucy, was eligible. And we talked about the science behind them. Did you decide to get vaccinated? And why did you make that decision, Cora?
I did get vaccinated because I really want to try to help out the world without getting anybody sick. And also especially because we have Magnolia at home and I really do not want her to get sick because she cannot get the vaccine just yet.
Is there anything else that you think people should know about the pandemic?
Well, I think people should know that me and my sister and my friends really like seeing each other, so it's kind of difficult when we can't, so we really want it to stop so we can see each other more often, because we don't want to go back onto remote learning, even though if some people just like staying in their PJs all day.
That was WPR's Andrea Anderson talking with her daughter, Cora. Wisconsin Life is a co-production of Wisconsin Public Radio and PBS Wisconsin in partnership with Wisconsin Humanities. Additional support comes from Lowell and Mary Peterson of Appleton. Find more Wisconsin Life at wisconsinlife.org. I'm Mary Kate McCoy.
And now, texting, speeding, running red lights. AAA has a new report out that looked into the rise in risky driving behaviors. What is happening with this dangerous driving trend that emerged in the pandemic? Do you commute by car each day? What suggestions do you have for driving safer? Are you worried about the surge in reckless driving and what it means for your neighborhood? 800-642-1234 to join in. Nick Jarmas is Public Affairs Director for AAA. Nick, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Morning, Kate. It's good to be back.
Good morning. So with this backdrop of these surging traffic deaths in the pandemic, AAA said, hey, drivers, what is going on with you? And you had thousands of drivers self-reporting here. Is that right?
That's right. We conducted a survey to ask people about their driving habits and behaviors behind the wheel while driving. And what we found kind of confirmed what our hypothesis was at the time, which is that the people who were driving, still driving, and in some cases driving more during the pandemic, were engaging in more unsafe behaviors behind the wheel than the people who reported driving less during the pandemic.
Oh, so it was people who make those risky decisions more apt to be on the road during that stretch?
That's correct. And this was a very specific window that we were looking at in the summer, you know, into early fall of 2020. So, you know, that still when maybe not a lot of stay at home orders were in place, but certainly many companies were still, you know, doing remote work. You know, people were still staying home. Schools were still doing remote learning. So, you know, most people were driving less at this time, but there was this subset of the population that was driving more. And of the, you know, that particular population skewed much younger and tended to be male. And those are typically the most risky drivers to begin with, even when we do surveys in past years, you know, apart from the pandemic. It's always younger males that are much more likely to engage in these risky, unsafe behaviors than the general population.
Do you think that if your foundation gave the same survey today, you know, near, I don't know, a year and 7-8 months later, would you get the same reaction? Would you get the same outcomes?
Probably not. It would probably be a little different. Certainly the makeup on the road is returning to more normal patterns, with more people, you know, going back to school, going back to work. You know, general traffic volumes are beginning to, you know, come back up to pre-pandemic levels. So we probably wouldn't have that same disparity. But I think there are probably some other issues going on right now that would account for the fact that we're still, even now, seeing much higher rates of crashes and fatalities on the road.
What might be going on? What are those other issues?
Well, there simply may have been some bad habits that were developed during the pandemic, particularly around speeding. Hmm. Speeding is always kind of one of the least talked about. We talk a lot about distraction in the last 10 years. We've talked a lot about impaired driving for a long time. And certainly that's still an issue, and it's an evolving issue as we look more at how prescription drugs may be impairing people, or how, you know, legalized or decriminalized cannabis may be impairing people, or the opioid epidemic. But speeding still is a huge problem. It increases your chance for a crash. And to compound that, when you do get into a crash, it increases the likelihood that that crash will be injury causing, if not fatal, because of the increased forces that will be generated by that crash.
Mm-hmm, that makes sense. How does Wisconsin compare to other states on risky driving?
Wisconsin generally is in the middle of the pack on most of these issues. Certainly we have a historic reputation for impaired driving, and particularly alcohol impaired driving being higher than most states. The statistics don't always bear that out. Even within that particular issue, there we're still kind of a mid-range state, you know, which isn't to say that it's not an issue. It certainly is an issue here. But, you know, with all of these issues, we're not particularly worse off, but also not particularly better off than most other states.
But I wonder, though, are there hot spots, if you will, of reckless driving? I mean, Milwaukee is really struggling with this problem in particular. What do you see when you go around the state?
Yeah, Milwaukee, of course. I mean, and there's been so much talk about that. It's become a major issue, you know, even politically in Milwaukee, to talk about the reckless driving issue. Yes. Around the rest of the state, we see other problems. We see, you know, different problems in rural versus urban areas, for sure. Even in Madison, we saw, particularly in 2021, Dane County saw a significant increase in fatalities year over year. Whereas, you know, at that time, even Milwaukee County was seeing an increase, but not as big of an increase. And there's not always, again, a lot of concrete ways or readily available explanations, especially because every crash, you know, even when they investigate it and they document it, there's always multiple factors that go into a crash. And that makes it really hard to pinpoint exactly what may be causing a localized spike like that.
We heard from Carol in Grafton, called in and couldn't stay with us. And Carol is wondering, how do they react and whom do they call or report it to when they see reckless driving? Carol says a driver dangerously cut them off yesterday and brake checked Carol. What should Carol do in that situation?
Well, reporting that to law enforcement is good. I would encourage you to pull over and do it from a safe location. Don't try to do it while you're driving. And that does make it tricky because, you know, you got to try and remember either make or model or plate number without necessarily writing it down, which is going to turn you into an unsafe driver by trying to do that while you're still driving. But I think even if you're not able to do that, reporting it anyway, even if you can't give them the details that might help them identify that particular person, is going to help generate like a record of, you know, incidents on a particular roadway that may, you know, justify increased patrols or doing some sort of a task force on that stretch of road to help tamp down on that in the future.
Nick Jarmus, spokesperson for AAA, as we look at their foundation's research on reckless driving, why do you think risky driving is more common in the pandemic era? What would you like to see done to rein in this behavior? Have you reported reckless driving before? What happened? What was that like? 800-642-1234. Back in a minute with Nick Jarmus here on the Ideas Network. It's the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Traffic fatalities continued to rise at a record pace in the first 9 months of last year, according to U.S. Transportation Department data. And an analysis out from AAA found an increase in reckless drivers on the roads that may be connected to this upward trend. Researchers surveyed about 3,000 drivers in late 2020 about their driving habits. Has your driving changed in these times? Are you more distracted, more impatient behind the wheel? What do you notice about the drivers around you? Still time, 800-642-1234. Nick Jarmus is a public affairs director for AAA with us for about 10 more minutes. Let's bring in Vivian now in Illinois. Vivian, hi. What would you like to bring up?
I drive between the northern part of Illinois and Door County quite often, and I find that the speeds are just outrageous. The people that speed, I mean, when the speed limit is 70, they're going 90, 95. I've taken, a lot of times I take the frontage roads when I can, instead of being on the on 43, for example. Just to stay away from those drivers. But I also find, in addition to the speed, you can tell when people are really distracted. And I've many times called the state police about drivers that are weaving in and out or going over the line, and about truck drivers that do the same thing because they're very unsafe when they start speeding and wavering all over the place. So I've seen it all, and it scares me to death, but, you know, this is the only way I can get up to Door County unless I want to fly. Yeah.
Vivian, thank you for bringing these points, these observations. You know, as Vivian says, they've seen it all, Nick, and is really concerned what's going on out there on the roads.
Yeah, you know, speed and distraction are really a deadly combination because it's, both of those things impact your reaction time. And so if you're going too fast and you're not giving yourself enough time to see what's happening on the road, you can't react to something that you can't see if you're distracted. And then if you're going too fast, that's going to cut down your time. But the other thing that I would mention about speed, and I've been saying this a lot because I've been spending a lot of time in the last 2 weeks talking about gas prices, is that if you're going at that speed, you are driving very, very fuel inefficiently. Mm. You're getting the worst gas mileage you could possibly get if you're going 90 miles an hour. So the closer that you stay to the speed limit, the more fuel efficient your car is going to be. So you can kind of solve two of the big concerns that just by slowing down, the safety concerns, as well as, you know, how to ease the blow to your pocketbook with these higher gas prices.
Interesting, too, that Vivian brought up taking some frontage roads, taking some back roads where the speed limit is lower and perhaps less traffic on the road. What do you make of that suggestion?
You know, that's actually a good suggestion. And you know, especially what we talk with senior drivers who, you know, maybe feel less comfortable in their own reaction times themselves, or just don't feel comfortable driving up at that speed. That's a great recommendation for them to you know, stay off of the roads that they don't feel safe on, stick to the roads that they feel are a little safer, especially if you have the time to do it and you're not as concerned yourself about making up the time. Now, of course, you know, that may affect your fuel efficiency as well, especially if that's going to add more stop and go to your trip as opposed to being on the interstate or highway where you're just going at a constant speed. That is a more fuel efficient way to go.
And, you know, I tend to be a pretty white knuckle driver on those interstates where there's a lot of semi traffic and they're moving, they're hauling. And I'm just wondering, too, is that oftentimes you see packs of vehicles and they're all moving at a huge clip. And that also makes me very nervous as a driver when you see that coming up behind you and just this pack of cars that's really moving fast. What are your suggestions there?
You know, the important thing is to stay alert and to stay aware of what's going on around you, staying off into the right hand lane, of course, you know, which is where you should be if you're not trying to pass other people, although that's not always, you know, everyone doesn't always remember that the right hand lane is supposed to be for not passing. But, you know, again, I would say if you really feel like there's just a lot of reckless driving going on a particular stretch of road, I would get off of it for a little bit and call that in and report it. And maybe they can dispatch some law enforcement, you know, extra law enforcement patrols to maybe try and control that.
Nick Jarmus, Public Affairs Director for AAA, talking about risky driving and what people see out there. 800-642-1234. Laura is joining us from Manitowoc. Hi, Laura. Go ahead.
Hi. I just really want to concur that I really think it's the speed that is an issue. And I know the speed limit changed many years ago. And at that time, there was a lot of talk about how, oh, you know, it's not a bad idea to raise the speed limit. It's not going to cause people to drive faster. But clearly, people do drive way over the speed limit. So I wonder if it's not... I mean, I do think that that's the cause. And I wonder if it's just that, you know, different people are driving during the pandemic, or maybe, you know, people are just more charged during the pandemic. But I just want to say that this left lane business, you know, I noticed on social media how driving has just become this super macho thing, and driving in the left lane in particular, there's so much discussion about drivers who drive in the left lane when they're not passing, and everybody's so concerned about that. So like you were saying, you know, people drive in packs and it's a race to the head of the line, and then people cut right in front of you so closely. When people do that to me, if there's nobody in the left lane, I just switch to the left lane in order to create room in between me and the car that's then going to probably continue to drive right in front of me for the next many miles. So I use the left lane strategically for that purpose. I don't care if it ticks anybody off, but I consider that to be defensive driving.
Laura, let's see what Nick has to say. Nick, go ahead.
Well, I mean, I would discourage that if for no other reason than you also have the run the risk of creating a road rage incident. And we, of course, you know, from sort of a moral standpoint or whatever you want to think of it as, that you maybe wouldn't be to blame. Like, you shouldn't, you know, allow yourself to be bullied on the road by any means, but you also don't want to do things that may provoke people, because that's just not even something that's going to affect you and them. You know, when you're on the road, that's something that's going to affect everyone else that's on the road with you. So just trying to avoid situations like that is always ideal.
And certainly, as Laura brought up, not tailgating. Do not tailgate someone, because reaction time is just not there. You can't make a sudden, you know, a sudden adjustment.
That's right. And, you know, one other thing that I want to mention while we're talking about speed is that, you know, we tend to think about speed as a, as an interstate highway issue, but even on local roads, we did a study that showed that, you know, the difference between going 35, 45, and 55 can have a dramatic difference in the survivability or injuries that are caused by a crash when you're talking about motorists. And then also talking about pedestrians, especially in more urbanized settings. That difference between going 25 and 35 literally can be the difference between life and death if you were to strike a pedestrian.
Mm. Is there any research that you've seen on red light photo cameras? Diane in Wauwatosa is asking, and we're really short on time, but Diane was suggesting Milwaukee should really use the red light photo cameras and work it more like Illinois. What do you see there?
We do know that that is an effective strategy, but there are also a lot of concerns that we have, that, that a lot of folks have, in how that's administered. And there, we actually have banded together with several other advocacy groups to create kind of a checklist of transparency and other, you know, ethical issues that cities who want to implement red light cameras should make sure they're addressing. But, you know, in and of itself as a concept, the automated enforcement is actually a very effective tool.
Nick, thank you for joining us.
My pleasure.
Nick Jarmus, Public Affairs Director for AAA. We have a link to the self-reported risky driving AAA report at WPR.org/mornings. And for disclosure, AAA Wisconsin is a business sponsor of Wisconsin Public Radio. Just ahead, we explore an effort to increase the ranks of women in law enforcement. Are you a woman interested in a police career? What makes you concerned about taking the step? 800-642-1234. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. It's The Morning Show, and you're listening to the Ideas Network.